cousin in the whole world. No, might be alive, yeah. Amen. Pastor Tom. Kids.
Sunday school.
Children's shirt.
Good morning, y'all. I'm from the South. This morning, I don't know why you came to church here. I came because I was asked, why did you come? What on earth are you doing here? I'm glad you're here. I trust that you came to meet with the Lord, to have some fellowship with some nice people, but to meet with the Lord, to hear from God. Would you like to hear from God this morning? Hallelujah. Well, God is faithful. It's not me. I won't be his. I guess I can't say that. He'll use my voice, I hope, this morning. But if you want to hear something from God, if you'll open your heart to God this morning, if you'll address him and say, Father God, would you speak to my heart today? Would you feed me food convenient for me today? Something I need. He'll do it. He's faithful. He desires to speak to his people. He desires to help you this morning. He wants to give you encouragement and hope and some joy. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to make you a light and salt in the earth today. God wants to do that. Do you? 11 of you do. Do you? Okay. So this morning, let's ask. Pray with me. Father, we come before you this morning and we're asking, God, would you take the words that we read from the Word of God and speak to our heart? Lord, would you equip us? Would you do something in us, God, that changes us on the inside, that changes us on the outside? God, would you put in us the things that we need today that we might live for you? We might live to bring praises and honor and glory to your name. So, Father, we call out to you and we ask for that today. And I thank you for it, Jesus. Bless the Lord. If you brought your Bible this morning, would you lift it up? You know how good it is for you to know in your Bible where someone's preaching from? Open to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. Through most of chapter 4, or prior to what I'm going to share with you this morning, the apostle was speaking about the old man and the new man. How many know there's a battle there? How many don't like the old man? You'd like to kill him once and for all, but that's not God's plan. And we're going to pick up in verse 30 and go to chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I don't know if you were struggling trying to change from chapter 4 to chapter 5. There were no chapters when this was written. There were no verse numbers. Appreciate somebody saying, hey, let's put some numbers and chapters in there so people like Tom can figure out where on earth he is. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. Do you know that the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us when we become a believer? Am I too loud? Am I loud enough? Okay. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in us when we become believers. And he's a gentleman. He's kind. He's gracious. He's love. He's joy. He's peace. He's gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. He's all those things. But we can grieve him. We can break his heart. We can interrupt with the work that he's doing by something we do that's foolish and stupid and grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I hate doing that. Something that's helped me in the last few years is I want to please the Lord. I want to be pleasing to him. I want my thoughts to be pleasing to him. If my thoughts start going someplace they ought not to be, it grieves me, and I know it grieves him. So I want to please him. So I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and we can. I love that when the Holy Spirit comes, he doesn't dictate how we have to act and what we have to do and how we turn and how we stand and how we look. And he comes along. He's in us, but he comes alongside of us to help us and to strengthen us and encourage us, help us to live for God. Is that right? But he is a gentleman, and we can grieve him. And the next verse says some of those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and malice, and evil speaking be away from you. So I'm going to look at those things, because those things are stuff that goes on inside of us. Verse 31 is internal. Verse 32 is external. And in verse 31 he says, put away, let all bitterness. Am I reading here right? Yes. Let all bitterness be put away from you. Bitterness. It's resentment usually associated with some past event or some person. We get bitter. Do you know somebody like that? I hope you don't see it in you. But that thing will come up sometimes, raise its ugly head. Bitterness. Bitterness. Some resentment over something that happened in the past. You know, people carry that. It's a hard thing to live with. It's a hard taskmaster. It's difficult living with bitterness. He says, put it away from you. He says, wrath. Wrath goes past anger. It's vengeful anger. It's fury or indignation. Wrath. That's what happens to unbelievers at the end of things. The wrath of God. The anger of God. God hates sin. You know that? God does hate. He hates sin. So we're to take this wrath that we feel that comes up all of a sudden. Sometimes no control. Do you find that? All of a sudden it just wells up. And I'm vengeful and angry. He says, put that away from you. Let that. When that comes up, hurry up and put it aside. Get rid of it. We can. After wrath is anger. Just annoyance or displeasure with the morons that drive through Watertown. Oh, that's mine. I always joke about how people drive. If they're going really fast, if they're going faster than you, they're idiots. If they're going slower than you, they're morons. But you see, it's always around how you are, you know, and that's what it is. We get angry with people, and we're to be angry, but not sin. Isn't that right? We don't sin. We don't go take it out on somebody when we're angry. We get rid of it. Because that anger is going to do something. You guys know this. That's made you do some stupid things. That made you do some things you are sorry for. Hurt people that you didn't really want to hurt. You were just angry. And sometimes we say, well, that's the way I am. So change. He says right now, put it away. Get angry. Put it away. These are internal things. Evil speaking. Evil speaking. You know that God hates sowing discord, backbiting? If somebody's done something stupid, you don't need to tell everybody else about their stupidity. But
I see what we should do, what I should do, is when I see somebody, I shouldn't, doing something, I shouldn't speak evil. I should pray for them. Maybe that's why we notice what they do or how they are, so that we might pray. Put it away! Put it away. And malice. Malice is a desire or an intent for evil to happen to somebody. I've wore that before. I wish God come and kill them. I wish a truck could fall on top of them. I wish they'd drive off the end of the world or something. You want something evil, something bad to happen. That's malice. He said, put that aside. Put that away from you. All that stuff goes on inside. The problem going on inside is going to come out. It bears fruit, doesn't it? Seeds will grow unless they're squash because ours die. No. Everything grows, and if you're going to let that thing fester, if you let that happen inside, it's going to come out. People are going to see it and receive from it. And he says, put it away from you. That's what goes on the inside. This next verse, verse 32, is external. This is how we treat each other. This is how we're supposed to live in this world. He says, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Don't be malicious. Don't be angry. Be kind. Be kind to one another. Be sympathetic. Man, we can use that, can't we? Somebody being sympathetic to you. Somebody sympathizing with the struggle you have or the problem you're dealing with and giving you some room to struggle, to work through it. Give people room. Be kind. So put away the other stuff, but be kind. Don't you love people being kind to you? Kindness is a great blessing. So we're to do that. We're to be kind. And he says also, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. I love that word. Tender is a great word. I want my wife being tender to me. I want other people being, I like the meat tender. But tender-hearted, gentleness, softness, kindness coming from your heart, being easily moved by love, easily moved by pity, or easily moved by sorrow. Put away the other, but exercise this. Be tender-hearted. Man, does the world need tender-hearted people today? Huh? That's what will separate a Christian from the world, is how we are doing this external part, how we're giving, how we're letting those things come out instead of the malice and the anger, those things. So he said, be tender-hearted. Have great sympathy for someone else, because you don't know what they're going through. You have no idea the internal struggle, and they have no idea about yours. So let's be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Like God forgave us. Forgiving one another. An intentional decision that I'm not going to hold that thing against someone. An intentional decision that I'm going to let that thing go. I'm putting it aside. I'm putting it aside. Forgiving. And I tell you, some people don't deserve forgiving. That doesn't matter. God always forgives us when we ask. But forgiveness will eat someone else up. If you don't forgive somebody, it's going to eat you up. You're going to struggle. It'll be hard. You're going to hate them. Then you're going to turn to maliciousness and vengeful. All that. That'll happen. But to forgive. Now, we all know. We all know these things, right? We all know we're supposed to be like that, right? We know we're not supposed to be vengeful or tender-hearted. We know that. How hard is it sometimes, though? How difficult is it to face a situation when anger rises up? And I don't get mad at big things. I get mad at little things. Those little, I'm trying to do something, and it happened, and it just comes up.
choice. I usually call it a puke dog or something. Let me tell you, one of my failures is I grew up, after I was 22, I had become a Christian. I grew up, and I didn't swear when I get mad, but I'd use other words in their place, like stinking. Stinking became a swear word, really. I'd call something a stinking this, or I'd call it a puke dog. It's one of my favorite lines. But what's the difference when there's an attitude behind it, or that there's anger behind it, or maliciousness, or hatred, or something? Isn't it basically the same attitude? Just the word changed to protect the innocent. Only it wasn't innocent. But he says, do these things. Don't be bitter. Don't walk in anger. But be kind to one another. Tender-hearted towards one another. Forgiving one another like God forgave you. Amen? God doesn't hold back. When God forgives you, it's done. Doesn't the scripture say that it's buried in the depths of the sea, never to be reckoned with again? How far is our sin from as far as the east is from the west? He doesn't remember. He doesn't forget. He chooses not to remember. Now, I forget everything. I choose to I wish I could remember. But God chooses not to remember our sin. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. So if we'll do this, this is an internal, verse 31, external in verse 32. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, therefore, because of this, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. And then he shows us how. He said, walk in love. This is a decision, guys. This is not a feeling. Walking in love is a conscious decision. I'm going to walk in love today, and I'm going to love my neighbor. Though his dog messes on my yard, or he doesn't mow close enough to the boundary, or some whatever irks you about your neighbor. Their music, their choice of music, their kids running around making lots of... It's a choice. And he says, walk in love. Choose to walk in love. It's a choice. We have to consciously make it, because we don't consciously get angry. It just happens, right? I don't control that so much until it shows its face. Then I start to deal with it. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. Like that. Love them like Jesus. There was a song, was it Mercy Me? Love them like Jesus. Love your neighbor like Jesus. Love your cousin like Jesus, Paul. Love people that are unlovely like Jesus loves them. It's not a feeling. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith, right? And part of that is I walk in love. And so think of somebody today that you really don't want to love. You don't really want to have to love. And then think about how you're going to do it. How can you love them? Show them that. Walk in love. What? Yeah. He said, like Christ, who has given himself to God, an offering and a sacrifice. Our life ought to be a sacrifice to God, right? He sacrificed for us. We're to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, as Romans tells us. Be a living sacrifice. I put away my stuff, and I get a hold of his stuff. I get put away how I don't love people, and I get his love for people. I get to put aside my anger and maliciousness, and I get his grace and his kindness and his mercy, and I start to practice that with someone that I might not like, and I don't even want to show them anyways, but God loves them. And so I get to do it because he's going to enable me, because his Holy Ghost lives in me. And he says, his love, and so I get to give that. I
made up a brand new old saying. Brand new old saying. It was about 6 o'clock this morning. I'm laying there and I'm thinking, and all of a sudden this pops into my head. If it ain't shown, then it ain't known. If it ain't shown, this love, this kindness, this tenderheartedness, then it ain't known. You know, one of the things that bugged me in the early years, I hate that speaker. Rings in my ear. So one of the things that bugged, remember how I said God chooses not to remember our sin? I have no idea what I was going to say. Okay, oh, I know. Living a nice life, people will say they're nice people. They're not going to know. They'll just say, they're really nice people. They're kind. They love us. If you don't put Jesus in there, they'll never know. You're just going to be a nice person. But if you love them like Jesus, if Jesus is part of your life and he's coming out your mouth, they're going to know the reason that you love is because of Jesus in you. And then they'll be able to receive that. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says, offering and a sacrifice, which to God is a sweet aroma. Picture that. You being nice to someone. You being kind to someone. You being tenderhearted to someone. You loving them like Jesus. It smells nice to God. It's awesome to God. Look at what my kids are doing. Look what how they're loving. Look how they're giving. Look how they're sharing. Look how they're sacrificing. My kids. So what we really need to be is just a bunch of little Jesuses running around. Huh? We're not going to save the world, but he can. He says, imitate Jesus. Imitate him. You know, another word for imitate is ape. If you imitated someone, you aped them. So we do what he does. We say what he says. We act like he acts. We give like he gives. Let me say that again. We give like he gives. We give like he gives. Love. Peace. Kindness. Caring. Giving. Sacrificing. All for who? For the least of these. For your neighbor. Doesn't he say love your neighbor as yourself? It's not just the people that live next door to you. Because who is your neighbor? I think it's been settled for a lot of years. Everybody. Everyone is your neighbor. You may not want them living next to you, but they're your neighbor. So he says to do this. Imitate Jesus. So I'm one of the things I'm hoping this morning is somebody stuck in your mind. Someone that you might be angry with. Or you might have trouble loving them or forgiving them or can't stop talking about them and telling people how terrible they are. Some of those people, is anyone like that coming through your mind right now? Is there a possibility that there's someone that you're not imitating Christ towards? What are you going to do about it? Because now you know. Now it's brought to your attention, right? Thanks a lot, Tom. How do we do it? First of all, why are we going to do it? Because he says to. And you know, God gives grace in your life, doesn't he? Don't you find that God's helping you here and there? Doesn't it come through people often? Isn't that often how we find the grace of God? How we find the help of God? The strength of God through other people. That's us in the lives of these people now that we've got to love and we don't want to love. That's how it's going to work. And they'll see Jesus in you. He is the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We don't hide it under a bushel. We expose it. We let it show. We let it out. We give it out to people. We let God use us. We let God speak through us. We let God change our hearts towards someone that we don't want to change our heart for.
Whoa, there's a step. How do we do that? By the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, by His grace, by the power of His Word. I can't ever express enough, and I'm trying to understand it myself. This Word is powerful. It changes us on the inside when we read it. It washes our brains while we read it. It redoes the work of God in us while we read it. And it takes out all the filth and the trouble and the struggle and the selfishness and the bitterness and the anger. Takes it all out. And He washes us clean. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It's not ink and paper. It's powerful. Bless His name. Bless His name. And when we speak the word of the Lord, when we talk like Jesus, it changes environments. Maybe you work with, oh, there we are. Maybe you work with somebody that if you could avoid them, you do. Why don't you change that? Why don't you go up to them and say, how are you doing today? Is everything okay? Is there anything I can help you with? Can I pray for you about anything? That'll change them. That'll change them. Because love changes things, doesn't it? God's love, His pure love, His good love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that's what's on my heart this morning to share with you. That's what God's dealing with me about, trying to help me to love and care and put aside the things that are difficult and hard. So now, can you deal with that? Can you deal with that? Maybe you don't want to. Maybe that person is, Tom, you don't know what they're like. Doesn't matter. God loves them, right? God wants to save them. If you got somebody that you don't care about, wouldn't you like to see them get saved and changed? It's up to us to love them right, to care about them. So I'm going to pray. And if one of these things is coming, something's coming to your mind, you present that to the Lord. You say, Jesus, would you help me with this? Because I don't want to love them, or I don't want to give, and I don't want to sacrifice, and whatever I don't want to do, God, change my heart that I might want to do. Because they need it so much. People need people to love them so much. This world is desperate for somebody to love on people and to speak the truth to them. We don't even know what truth is anymore, except this. I'm going to pray for us this morning. If there's something, you reach out to Jesus. You talk to Him about it. Father, we come to You because of Jesus. We come because Jesus loved us so much. Because You love us so much, God. That You didn't leave us in our sin. You didn't forsake us. But Lord, You call us to Yourself. And as many of us in here, Lord, have come to a place of salvation. We surrender our heart to You and ask You into our lives. And given our life to You, Lord, I pray, Lord, a renewing in us of our heart for the lost, our heart for the hurting, our heart for the broken, our heart for the ones that are not saved, God, that they might find You and find peace like we found, joy like we found, eternity like we found, Your presence like we found. Lord, I know You want to use us. So I pray You do. I pray You talk to us about these things and don't let them escape us. We commit these to You.